The following lecture is the sole property of Imam W.D. Muhammad and cannot be sold or reproduced without written consent or permission of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Anyone not compliant will be apprehended and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, American Society of Muslim Leaders. The following lecture series, titled A Time for Greater Communities, Part 1, was recorded September the 8th, the year 2002, in Markham, Illinois. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. It means the same thing. Praise be to Allah. We thank Allah, that is, we thank God for our life and all that supports our life. We thank Him for this day that we have here, a day of pleasure and a day of serious thought. We worship God and we thank God for His servants, the messengers, the prophets, and we salute the last of the prophets, Muhammad, with the salutation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace of God be upon him and upon his servants and the righteous all. Ameen. Or amen, as the Christians say. See how close we are? Christians say amen, we say ameen. And you spell both of them A-M-E-N. Or you could spell ameen, A-M-E-E-N, but usually you see it spelled, in fact, I hardly ever saw it in print with two E's. Always one E, like the Christians spelled it. But I think we are so different. I'm not here to talk about that today. I'm here to talk about something that we all have a need for, something that we all have a spirit for, no matter who we are, as long as we're human. Any human being has a spirit for what I'm going to share with you today. I had a spirit for it. My spirit for it was so strong that it shaped my speech in the Nation of Islam, and it has shaped my speech since the Nation of Islam. That is, since I was a minister in the Nation of Islam. I remember way back in, and I have forgotten it really, but one of the senior members of the community who were back there in the Nation of Islam time sent me this tape. It's a tape of Malcolm X introducing me. He was called Malcolm X at that time. It was in around 57 or 58, I think it was. And Malcolm was introducing me. He had invited me to speak at this city. It was not New York, but Malcolm was responsible for many cities on the East Coast. And even some outside of, away from the East Coast. My father put him over many cities to work for the progress of those places. So anyway, Malcolm introduced me, and I spoke briefly, and I sat down. Malcolm whispered to me, and he said, "Minister Wallace, they want to hear more." So I got back up, and I continued from where I left off, although I concluded it. But I had more to say. I told him, I said, "Okay then." So I got up and I continued. And I listened to that tape that the senior member sent me. And I said to myself, "Wow, I am surprised that what I said then is what I'm saying now. I mean, no different than what I'm saying now. No different at all." I didn't have that opening that we have now, the former opening we have now, but it was the opening that we had back then. We say, "In the name of Allah, and we thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad." That's the way most of us would open. That's the way I open. Anyway, what I was talking about is what I'm going to talk about to you now. We need to be more in charge of our lives, period. But that doesn't go for just us African Americans or blacks. It goes for all people nowadays. The world has changed so that you have to spend too much time to have serious thoughts about your own life. You're too busy to have, when I say you, I mean all of us, too busy to have serious thoughts about our own lives. How we are doing, we don't think about it. Somebody say, how are you? Only time we think about how we doing is when we get a 5-day notice, or the house catch on fire, or the dope fiend son does something to make or get you upset and have to go to court or have to go to morgue to take care of him. We only think about our life when some tragedy, some great tragedy occurs, something very, very tragic happens. Then we think about our life. At other times we're so busy. We're busy working, trying to pay the bills, or we're busy trying to help those that are working, who are trying to pay the bills. We are busy. Or we are busy being entertained by Satan. And believe me, he can keep all of us busy. Yeah, and if you don't believe in Satan, that's okay. You don't have to believe in Satan. But whatever is keeping you busy and you know it's not right, that's what I'm talking about. You call it what you want to call it. But I'm talking about that time that you're given to what you know is wrong. Yeah. So this is life. It's busy. Do you think the great seers, they called them seers before they called them prophets? This is in Scripture. Do you think the great seers didn't know this was coming? They did. They said a time is coming when man will be so occupied, individual person, pardon me, will be so occupied with his own concerns that he won't have time for anybody else. Isn't that the world now? Mama's so busy she doesn't have time that she would like to give to her children. Individuals in the family, they're so busy they can't give time to the family. Family gets very little of their time. They're all going their separate ways. They're in their separate worlds doing their separate things. So the time that these great minds and visionaries and psychic people, people who had psychic powers, God had blessed them with special psychic powers. The time that they saw coming is here. It's right here now. It's not to come. It's here. They told us that the cities was going to become bigger and bigger. The population was going to become more and more. And the cities were going to become the main places for sin and corruption. That has happened. That has happened already. The cities are going to be the main areas for sin and corruption. And it was going to be so bad that the righteous were going to find no comfort anywhere. There'll be no peace for the righteous. They'll find no comfort anywhere except in their own souls. See, if you are a good person, no matter how much bad is around you, you can be right in the midst of hell. But if you're a good person, your goodness protects you. Your goodness is your protection. It protects you. Yes, when you think about the misery all around you, it makes you sad. But it does not take away your peace. It makes you sad. I'm not going to refer to anybody's scripture today. I'm speaking to a public gathering here. So I won't be quoting anybody's scripture. It takes you, but you will recognize the familiar language. In your religion, in my religion, we will recognize the familiar language. Yes. So it will make you sad, but it won't take away your peace. Even if it's your own daughter, your special daughter, the one you admire most, she can go and get involved in drugs. She can become a prostitute. She can become such a sad thing in your life that you will say, "Oh, sometime I wish I was dead. I'd rather be dead than to see her like this." But that's only when you're thinking about her. She does not take away your peace. You still have your peace. You have something in the center of your life, something centered here inside, that is keeping your life and keeping you from being miserable. And someone might say, girl, how can you smile with all the problems you got? And if you know scripture, you might quote some scripture to that person. Yes, this is life. Now, what is so special about a human being doing good that they can have that kind of protection from hell? Right in the midst of hell, hellfire not touching them. The hellfire cannot touch them. Right in the midst of hell, but the hellfire can't touch them. Thank God. Well, I said God. You bet I did. If you don't like God, you can get the hell out of here right away. Well, I don't like anybody if they don't like God. Unless you're insane. If you're insane, you got an excuse. That's an excuse. Insanity is an excuse for any behavior. But if you say that you don't like God, I don't like you at all. You know you didn't create yourself. You know you didn't make this world that you live on. If you don't know what God is, then you should at least be grateful to whatever made your life possible and made this great world that we live off of possible. You should at least be grateful to that, because you know you couldn't create yourself. You couldn't produce yourself from nothing. So let's wake up if we are that asleep. Let's wake up right now. All right. Now, what is it all about? It's about the value of the human being that God made. Before the world changed the human person was developing upon the natural world. The natural world supported human life, and the human being was developing materially, spiritually, mentally, mind, thinking. Everything was supported by this natural world that God made, the Creator made, before man came in with his influence and changed it, made it man's world, put man's creation all around us. The ground we're looking at, that's God. It hasn't changed. It's still God's, just like God did it. See, look down at that ground. It's good to look at it. Someone will say, well, I don't know. They might have brought that grass in here, and they might have to be putting fertilizer on it to keep it like that. That's true, but it's still the grass that God made, and the dirt that supported it is the dirt that God made. And the man is attending it, just like the men did a long time ago before civilization. Men found out that putting fertilizer, manure, cow manure and things would help the growth. They found that out before man made his world over God's world or imposed it upon God's world. And I'm not against man's world now. I'm very much in favor of man's world, but not in favor of the things that hurt us that's in man's world, and you are not either. So none of us are completely pleased with man's world. But it doesn't mean we want to do away with man's world. No, because man's world offers great abundance of good also. Offers us a great abundance of good, man's world. But at the same time, we got a thinking that makes us approach reality in a way that hurts us and hurts society. So we have to correct all that. And I think what I'm talking about is going to help us situate ourselves inside of our own self. Even if you're already situated before you came here to hear me speak, if you came to hear me speak, I don't know, but some of you did, I know. If you came to hear me speak, and you're already situated good, then we are happy to know that, and I'm sure many of you were. But even if you were situated good, this is going to help you be situated even better, what I'm going to tell you this afternoon. Because even myself, putting this together, strengthened me before I came to you with it. Say, well, where are your notes? They're up here, buddy. I don't forget them. They're written right up here. And right here, too, written both places. They're written. I know my notes, and I'm following them right now. Yes. I never speak without knowing what I'm going to talk about. I don't do that. Most of the time you see me with a paper. I have some paper. I have my notes. This time I don't have any paper because this is on my favorite topic. I'm talking to you on my favorite topic, the topic that has shaped my life from as far as I can remember. Okay. They believed, those seers, that there was going to come a time when every individual person would have much more responsibility than they had in those in the time of those seers. And they believed that the city wouldn't be able to guarantee you a good life. The city was going to become so burdened and so corrupt that the city would not be able to guarantee you a good life. The cities that we built so we would have protection. Why did people form cities? They formed cities so they would have support from their collective monies, their collective moral strength, etc. They supported cities so they could have a better life altogether. So they would have safe, more comfortable streets, more services, whether it was a lamp or oil lamp or whatever. They would have a store where they could go and get the oil lamp, and it would be within reasonable distance. So they did it so they would have a more comfortable life, and also a more safe life, a life that was more secure, safer. Finally, you know, they had to get a police department, a fire department, and all these things. But it was just to keep their life comfortable, secured, and give them a sense of protection or a sense of being safe in the town. Now, these cities have developed just as those seers thousands of years. I'm not talking about 1,000 years ago. I'm not talking about 2,000 years ago. I'm talking about 3,000 years ago. Seers said these things that I'm telling you about the city, what's going to happen to the city. We see it happen. It's here now. And the worst place is where people live. The worst place to be is where people live. The safest place to be is where there are nothing but animals. And people originally wanted to be with people and away from animals because they were less protected among animals than they were among people. Now we are more protected among animals than we are among people. Be much better off in a jungle. Yeah, because all you have to do is build a little fire at night. Animals don't come and bother you around fire. They won't care. In fact, enough of you get together, most animals stay away. Only a very hungry animal and very few animals. We got sweet meat, but they don't like it. You know any animal that like human meat? I don't. I don't know a single one. I know some when he's vicious, you make him angry and attack. He'll attack you and maybe bite you. And if it tastes good, he's hungry, he might chew on you a bit. But for some reason, this great creation that we live on here and exist upon, it made us not a tasty for animals. We're not tasty for them. That's something to think about, isn't it? Since the cities are not supporting our life as we want the cities to support our life, we have the fire department, we have police, we know they'll come to our rescue. But they don't guarantee us security and protection. They can't do it anymore. The city is just too burdened. Too much corruption, too much insanity. They can't guarantee it anymore. So the time is here that they saw. The time is here, and they said, when this time comes, every person must accept more responsibility. More responsibility. We believe that, like the world, you know, day comes, but night comes behind it. But you know, behind night, day comes again. So there's a returning of things, you know. Returning of things. The crescent moon comes, but it goes away. It becomes full moon. And then no moon, and it appears again, a new moon appears again, and it goes away. Sun comes and goes away. The moon comes and goes away. The storm may come, but the fair weather is coming behind it sometimes. So everything is just changing, right? Repeating, like in cycles. Okay, so however we started, we're going to have to come back to that. This is what the great seers saw. However we started, we're going to have to come back to that. And we all started not depending upon city life because there were no cities. Not depending upon police department and fire department. They were not existing. Those things were not existing. We were depending only upon our nature, our intelligence, our good hearts that God, out of whatever made us, you may call it the world made us. Well, we'll say that. Say whatever you like. Whatever made us, it made us to have a selection, to make selection. We don't just choose anything. We make selection. Animals do too. But for some reason, I think it's the freedom of thought, free mind, intelligence that human beings have that animals don't have, to think out of what we are created into. We can think different from what way we are created. We can come up with a new idea of how we should live. Against the way we are created to live or we are made to live, animals can't do that. Animals cannot think another lifestyle. The roach that lives today, you watch him in your house, the pharaohs of Egypt used to watch him too. And I don't know how they came to see all the importance in him that they saw, but they saw so much importance in a cockroach, they made the cockroach a part of the sacred things. They put him among the sacred things. Preserved him, his picture and everything, embalmed him even, so he would last, put him among the sacred things, cockroaches. Science better study cockroaches some more. Maybe those Egyptians discovered something that science, that modern science doesn't know about. I don't know. I'd be curious if I was those scientists studying insects. I'd be studying that cockroach to see what the Egyptians found in it. Dogs, birds, whatever it is, living, however God made it to perform, it performs that way now just as it did back then. It might have evolved slightly, but it still performs the same way. It's performed. Life is the same, and the mold is made, and they can't come out of that mold. Only human beings were made to come out of that mold. Now, shouldn't we be thankful to whatever created us, that we are created with more freedom than any other thing that exists? We have more freedom than anything that exists. And look what we have done with our freedom. We have made the city a hell. Made it a virtual hell. The city life is a virtual hell for most people. For most decent people. City life is a virtual hell. And we have done that with our freedom. We couldn't have done that if we were cockroaches. We couldn't have done that if we were bees. We'd still be living in honeycombs and the life would still be the same. But this freedom that we have enabled us to come out of the mold that God made for us, and we have made the city life a virtual hell. It's prophesied that it would come. But I said that things are returning, and we have to return back to the way it was before. Now, we're not going to do away with these cities. We're not going to do away with the modern comforts we have. They'd be crazy people. We're going to keep all these comforts. But in terms of how much responsibility I should accept in my own life, for my own condition, for my own life, we need a change. And we need a big change. We cannot live in these cities anymore and say, well, this is my house. This is my yard. That's the extent of it for me. And my job. That's my world. Go to your job. Come back home. That's your world. No. Every step you take from your house is your world. Every step you take from your house to your job is your world. And every step you go away from the job and the home, that's your world. Wherever you go on this planet, that's your world. This was true way back there when man had not created his world. And there was nothing but the natural world that we say God made. That was true back then. God made all of this, and there's nothing except in man's history and in man's works that tell me this earth is not mine. Now, we know we had to pay for this. We paid for this ground right here. This is ours now. It is ours now. It's paid for. We know we had to pay for it, but And this is what's in a lot of our youngsters, too. See, the nature, is the world is pressuring out a lot of youngsters so much and is making their lives so miserable, and they don't have the wherewithal or the idea of how to cope with this thing. So what do? They depend on their own thinking. And a lot of them are going back to their own thinking, and they say, well, man says this is his. Man says this place, this town belongs to him. Man says I can't sleep on this ground. But this ground was made for all people, not just for man, that man, or the man. So you have a movement against the system, by these youngsters. Yes, a movement against the system. They reject the whole system. They condemn the system. And they are not the first, our young men, African-American young men, and the ones that's doing it now, Hispanics and those. Back there in the 60s, it was the Ivy League, the high-up white children that rebelled against the system. Intelligent college students start living off the wild life, refused to even go to stores and buy food. And their parents could have kept affording them the way they are. But they were so much against the world as it was developing that they decided that they wanted to reject the world and not accept anything from it. Newspapers reported that they were killing cats, alley cats, and eating them to survive. So you see, something causes you to go back. Enough pressure will cause us to revert, to go back. And when we go back without guidance, we go back and down. But if we go back with guidance, we go back and up. Yes. Thank God. Oh, I'm about to get the Holy Ghost up here. Because I'm speaking from guidance. I'm not speaking from Wallace. I'm speaking from guidance, okay? Yes. So, we need to go back. Go back to the innocent human person. You want to know where that person is? In the arms of any new mother. It's the new baby that the mother gets into her arms, and she will say, honey, hold the baby. And if he's there, no telling where he is nowadays. But if he's there, he'll hold the baby too. And they hold their new life. They hold their new flesh. They hold their future. They hold a new human being. And that human being is ready to be guided aright. They used to have in the criminal laws of this great civilization we have here, America, United States of America. It just stayed there temporarily. It didn't stay there long. A law that permitted them to sterilize criminals, real hardcore, bad, dangerous criminals. They could sterilize them because they believed from their scientists, they were believing that criminology can be inherited. It didn't last long. Science changed that and brought back in the belief that no, every child is born free of any criminal mind. No child is born with a criminal mind. So they had to stop that. All right? What does that say to us? And I point to something else, the lie detector. And they use the lie detector to sentence you or let you go. The lie detector becomes the determinant, determining whether you go free or you go to jail. So what is the lie detector testing? Testing your own truthfulness. And they say you can lie with your tongue, you can lie with your mind, but your body cannot lie. Your body, your flesh does not lie. So they put things on you that register how your flesh is affecting your mind. How your life
that God gave you is affecting your thinking and your mind. And they test you and they find it's going off when they ask you certain things. They say, oh, you're lying. She's lying or he's lying. They know. So what is telling them you're lying? The life God gave you is telling them you're lying. You're in that life and you're lying in that body. So the same body that God gave the baby, the newborn baby, and the scientists say, no, he's not born a criminal. That same life, even after you have become an adult and have become a criminal in your mind and a criminal in your behavior, that life has not changed. Now, I think I've said enough for you to see what is the sacred human person for you and your religion and for us and our religion. What is that sacred human person? For some people, they say that person that's sacred like that, that will be in agreement with that original innocence and purity, that person is also God. But for many religions, we say, no, that person is not God. That person is just a perfect person, not God, but a perfect person. And it is God that looked for the perfect person like that, who still appreciate and love and want to obey his innocence that God created. He wants to remain innocent, not guilty of any sins, any crimes, any lies. God picks a person like that and makes him a messenger to the rest, to others. We don't believe in a God. We believe in a man. I heard a Christian evangelist that I liked before I even met him. I liked him so much. Shuler, Dr. Shuler, with the television ministry, the Crystal Cathedral, if you've ever seen him on TV. He's popular, very popular. Not only in America, popular outside in the world around us. He's popular all over in Asia, everywhere. He's popular in many places. Anyway, I heard him preaching once, and he says, God believes in you. If he didn't believe in you, he wouldn't have trusted you to do things that animals can't do. He must believe in you. And I don't care how dumb or crazy you are, brother or sister. I said brother first because the brothers are more wasted than the sisters. because the world is more afraid of a brother than it is of a sister. So you brothers got a little bit more pressure on you than sisters. And you should accept it and measure up. I'm not excusing you at all. Okay. Yes. So you got more freedom. You should be grateful to God. I won't continue that course that I was going in. I will come back to where I was so we can conclude within a few minutes, I hope. Yes. Mortal human being, not God. No human person is God. God is present in all of us. God is present in all of us. Not only in all of us, God is present everywhere. This is what Scripture says. This is what our Scripture says. I don't know what Scripture you got, but this is what your Scripture says too. I've read it. I read yours too. Not only mine. I read yours thoroughly, more than once. So I know your Scripture too. Our Scriptures say that God is present everywhere. But we don't like to think of God down. So when we think of God, I do that myself. And I see my friends sometimes, I'm not close enough to them to speak. I'll just wave, I know him. And I know that he does this too. So I point my finger up like that, just letting them know, one God. That's where my soul is, brother, with the one God. So I point and should tell him, let him know that's where I am. Okay? So, God is present everywhere. Present everywhere. But when we think of him, we like to think of him as being up, high up, above all things imaginable. High up. But you know, for a scientist, an astronomer in astronomy, our scientists, period. All scientists have to know so much about every science. a scientist, and you say straight up, he said, well, it won't be there long because the earth is turning. The earth is turning. This earth we on is turning. Right now it's showing us the sun. It's going to turn all the way in the opposite direction. And it's going to show us darkness. The sun is going to be on behind the earth, and we ain't going to be able to see the sun or this light because the shadow of the earth is going to be blocking it. And we're going to see what's on the other side. And what we're going to see is a starry sky if it's not cloudy. We're going to see a starry sky. Huh? The poet says, the night has 1,000 eyes. We know it's many more than that. And the day but one, meaning the sun. So we know what the earth is turning. So what's up now will not be up long. In about a quarter of a day, it's going to not be up. It's going to be here. Another quarter of a day, it's going to be straight down. Another quarter of a day, it's going to be there. So if God is up there, how long is he up there? The earth is turning me around. I can't. So what it means, wherever we are, in whatever situation or position we are in, we want to always respect God as high above us and everything imaginable. But not in any particular location. God is everywhere. So what is this man talking about? I'm trying to talk us into common sense. I'm trying to talk us into the common intelligence that God created the baby with, and we get away from it when we get lost in this big city life. We get away from that good common sense intelligence that God created babies to have. Okay, we need to get back to it, where we think with good common sense. Think truthfully. Think beauty. Think love. The city is too much in our way to make us think ugly. Think hate. Think sickness. Think violence. The city is too much in our way. So let us come back to ourselves. And let me tell you something else. The seers believe that when a person come back to their original self, that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called us the original man. He wanted us to think of our original self and come back to your original self. The seers believe that when a person come back to their original self, before the world changed them, that they don't only come back to themselves, but they also come back to God. They believe that if you come back to your original self, you will discover God. You will find God there with you. Because God is not in sin. Huh? Once you become innocent, God is there with you. God is here always. And you should teach your children that. All my children are taught that. And none of my children have left us. None of our children have left God. None of them have left God. All right? Because they're raised with this common sense teaching that I'm sharing with you right now. I don't even like to call it teaching. It's a conversation between me and my friends. And you're talking back. I can hear you. Not the way a tape recorder will record you, but I hear you in a spooky way. Talking back to me. It's spooky, I mean not understandable in man's language. I can't put it in the man's language, just how I'm hearing you. But I'm hearing you. I don't hear sound, but I'm hearing you. Okay? And I'm responding to you. I've been doing this for many years. God bless me to sense what's on my audience's mind and what's bothering them, and I speak right back to them. It's a conversation going on. Okay. Thank God. Yes. All right. The responsibility we have to accept is responsibility for our life in community. And God did not plan for us the city life that we have now, but God certainly planned for all of us community life. And he planned that we one day are going to be thousands and millions sharing one area together, one geography together, and eventually we're going to be billions sharing in this one globe together, this one earth together. That time is not to come. That time is here now. We all have to share this one global village, as the African family say. We have to share this one global village. We have to live with one another. We can't escape that. There's no way for a black man to say, oh, I hate white folks. You hate them? You're going to have to see them tomorrow, buddy. And you might have to be taken somewhere by one of them. And it might not be where you want to go. And that can also happen nowadays to a white person. You hate blacks? Well, you might have to be rescued by one or locked up by one. The world has changed. It's too small now for us to escape one another and run from one another and pretend that we were put here to have all this by ourselves. That's crazy. We were put to have all this with one another. The great religions believe in the family of human beings. There's our private family, but the great religions, the thinkers in those great religions, and I'm talking about religions other than Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. I'm talking about other religions, even Buddhism, and other. They believe in the family of human beings. They believe that we are a family, one people, one blood, one family. And that the world is getting smaller and smaller because of us getting more and more numbers. We're closing in on one another. And we cannot accept to run from each other anymore. So this time is on us. We don't have to have someone preach us to get the Holy Ghost to believe these things. The real world is more convincing than any Holy Ghost. The real world is right on us. And it's more convincing than anything that we have to imagine spiritually. The real world is right on us and we have to respond to it. Okay, so what am I prepared to do? I'm prepared to do what I've been doing now for 50 years or more. I'm prepared to think more responsibility for me. More responsibility for my people. When I say my people, I mean the followers of my father, Elijah Muhammad, firstly. But I mean African-American people. Now I mean, I have come to mean, to include all people. All people. For human beings. I believe that all of us should give in the measure that we are blessed to have. If you have, in the time of Muhammad, there was no police department. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, the messenger of God, in Islam, and he's a mercy for all the world. That's what our scripture says. Our prophet is a mercy for all the world, for all people, not just for one. We believe that a person should be responsible in the measure that they've been favored or blessed. And in the time of Muhammad, he didn't have police department. The people policed themselves, and they had peace and safety and security. They did not steal from one another. They did not commit violence on one another. They did not make each other miserable, and they had no police force. You know Christ Jesus is a sign of that also. Christ Jesus is a sign of that. That if you just accept his life and be true to it, you don't need police force, not from one another. If you share your Christian brother or sister that shares that belief with you, you don't have to be worried about them harming you. They're not going to harm you. We met a group of Christians that I feel as safe with as I feel with any Muslim. And they're called the Folklore. They're Catholics. But they got a leader that went and stressed the idea of Christ's love. I don't say stressed it. Just focus more on that idea. That's what she did. Her name is Kiara Lubick. She started during World War II and gained a following as a young girl, about 19 years old, I think, when she started. And now her following include people from all around the world, Africa, Asia, Europe, everywhere, many followers. And we are close friends, that lady and myself. We have become close friends. And her people, because of us embracing one another, her people and our people have become close friends. They work with each other. They do things together so that we can have better life for all of us on this planet, we hope. And we can if we work together, cooperate for good. Anyway, we should accept what the seers for us, ourselves, what those seers saw coming. Because it's here. It ain't coming anymore. It's here. We should accept that every individual should be made aware, if they're not aware, that this time we're living in requires that you accept as much responsibility for yourself as you possibly can. Don't depend on mama and daddy to to do too much for you. Don't depend on the city or the federal government to do too much for you. Dislike that man, world, and his world has taken away from you so much of your own ability and so much of your own dignity. Anytime that we accept that our family, our parents, we're 40 years old, we're still hanging out on the corner with friends like we 14, like we 12, 13, 14 years old. 40 years old. No job and ain't worried about one. Loafing, spending the time, wasting the time, ain't caring about it, don't care about it, don't give it a second thought. Well, that shows us the extent to which the problems of the modern world have taken away from us attention to ourselves and time to give attention to one another. Because if a healthy-minded, not so burdened mother had that child, he would never be out there 40 years old acting like he's 14 or 16 years old or younger. He wouldn't be out there doing that. No. So it's because of the multiplying of the burden on the individual and the family, mainly family, that these bad conditions exist. Now we have to realize that God didn't create us to be this weak. Compared to that boy that's wasting his, that's 40 years old. He's a boy. He's still a boy. 40 years old on the block, wasting his time and wasting his life. Compared to him, the man that God made is Superman. Superman! So we have to believe these things. So believe, as Dr. Shuler said, believe that God believes in you. And then Dr. Shuler added, and I believe in you. And that's what God wants. The one that created us wants that we believe in him, but wants also that we believe in one another. Because if we don't have faith in one another, we can't trust one another and tackle the big problem together. But if we have faith in one another, we can trust one another and tackle the big problems together. Now, faith in me should not be faith in Wallace D. Muhammad, born in Hamtramck, Michigan, about 69 years almost ago. Shouldn't be faith in me as that person. It should be faith in me as the innocent person that God made in that newborn baby and in that man that they can still test with the lie detector and find out that there's truth in his flesh, if not in his mind. It's gone from his mind, it's gone from his spirit, but it's still in his flesh. Let's believe in the self that God made originally, firstly. Let's believe that I was once a person that didn't want to lie, didn't want to steal, didn't want to be violent, didn't want to hurt anybody. I was ready to be the best I can be. I was ready to follow nothing but good motives and good advice and good influences before I got taken off of my mold that God made for me, taken out of the mold that God made for me. Let's believe in that. And then believing in that, let us say that poor people can become rich people. Don't we believe in the land of dreams and plenty? The United States is a land where you can dream. The United States is a land of plenty. And you can dream here. Well, let us have faith in enough in that original self to say, if a few of us get together and we stand upon the righteousness that God made us when he created us, we can support each other and trust each other, and we can be responsible for more than our own room or our own apartment or our own house and our own yard. We can be responsible for Markham, Illinois. But let us begin with the little area, our neighborhood that we are in. So we are beginning. We have a place there. I live 5 minutes from here. So we are starting right here. And you people of Markham, you don't have to become a Muslim to join me. Just believe in yourself. Because God believes in you, and I believe in you. And we will make Markham one of the best small towns on the map. We will do it. And what the world, the industrialists, the developers are doing is beautiful. They are building this town. We have a newcomer in the government, came in the government, and that member in the Senate have done wonders to bring in big business, you know. So we got a lot going for ourselves here with our mayor. I think you saw it. He's supposed to come here earlier. I believe he came to give us greetings earlier. Mayor David Webb. He's a good man. He's a great mayor, a good mayor, and he's for anything that's right. Okay? So we don't have anything to fight here. We have nothing but the freedom to do good here. So I'm speaking to the city of Markham, not just to you. And if you're following a good man, stay with him. If you got a man good as me, stay with him. If I'm no better than he is, don't come to me. Stay with him. You know him. You've got experience with him. Stay with him. But if he can't do the things that you want and you think I can, please come to me. And you don't have to be a Muslim. I'm looking for an innocent human being that God made. Because God believes in you, and that's enough for me. I believe in you. Thank you. Peace.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1708-798-6750. Or write Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.